It is The Brink, your mother's favourite podcast, coming to you for our monthly edition of the show, because this is all we apparently do. And it's April. That's how we like to pronounce it apparently here on The Brink 2024. Can you believe it? It's a celebratory month for us on this show, because technically this is our 20th anniversary in some form or another. 20 years on air. Thank you. I'm glad there's some applause going on in the background there. Let them die out. We just had the studio audience many, many years ago. But back in April 2004, we kind of made our debut, essentially, on the airwaves. We were part of what was then Elizabeth College Schoolies Hour, and we were sort of taken out of a separate show and formed into a bit of a filler show in the school holidays. And that emerged into eventually what you know today as The Brink. So we're going to celebrate that occasion today by doing a throwback clip, which I believe we've played on this podcast before, but we're going to do it again because we like to milk a good thing. Why not? And a few other flashback things. And the exciting announcement of something exciting that you're going to get additional content on if you do listen to this show. So I'm very excited for that. But one thing I actually haven't done in quite some time here on The Brink is just give a shout out to where our audience is coming from. And I always like to acknowledge those who take the time to listen to this rubbish. So big shout out to everybody in the US, because once again, our large portion of audience over there in the United States, particularly in the great state of Indiana. It's a state that I will sadly say I have not been to. I've been to, I think, 29 states off the top of my head, 28 states, and Indiana, sadly, not one of those states. So our large portion of listeners in Indiana, shout out to you. Would love to come and visit your state. Let us know whereabouts in Indiana you're listening from, because we'd love to hear from you. Also, shout out to our Californian listeners, our Texan listeners, our Hawaiian listeners, and our Tennessee listeners as well. Great to hear and see that that is where we're coming from. Our Australian listeners, I'm very happy to say that our number one state that people listen to us from is Tasmania. I would expect nothing less. It's where we're from. It's our home state, so shout out to all our Tasmanians. And France, at number three on our list right now, has overtaken Canada, if you don't mind, and New Zealand as well. So bonjour to all of our French listeners. I will be there in a shorter period of time for the Olympics, so perhaps say bonjour to me. I'd love to see you and say hello to you. So great to see that spread out there. But then we've still got a Canadian listenership base, our Singapore listenership base, New Zealand, India, Colombia, and the United Kingdom. And I'm looking at here, the very bottom of this list, Albania. Can't say it's a country that I've remotely come close to visiting, but a big shout out to our Albanian listeners. So good to see we're getting spread right across the world there. So I always like to kind of break that down and say hello to those who take the time to listen to, as I said, this rubbish. So hello. And as always, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you, and love to hear why you're listening to the show and where you're listening to us from. We do like to bring classic interviews down your speakers, perhaps as we just went over in that intro segment. If you're listening to us from around the world and probably couldn't tune in to us back in the day when we were on radio, you probably wouldn't have heard a bunch of great interviews that we used to have on the show. And we're going back 10 years, 2014 was the year, to when we spoke to iconic Australian actor Stephen Dennis. Now, if you're a fan of Neighbours, the show that's been going on for like 30, 40 years and it got taken off air, then it came back again, we had Stephen Dennis on about 10 years ago. Now, I'll be completely honest with you, I've never really been a massive Neighbours watcher. I've watched it here and there, but I've never really watched it religiously. We had Ryan Maloney on, which I know we've played the classic clip here on the show, and Stephen Dennis, alongside Ryan Maloney, two very long-standing cast members of that show. I think even at the time, you'll hear me talk about it in this interview, Stefan had been on the show probably for about 20 years at that point. So I add another 10 to that now. So he's been on Neighbours for about 30 years, if my calculations are correct. But a great chat here with Stefan, going over his career, Neighbours, and everything else in between. Get in that time machine. Enjoy this chat. Here is our classic interview with iconic Neighbours actor, Stefan D.
Dennis.
Stephen Dennis is one of this country's finest actors who is well known to audiences for playing Paul Robinson on Neighbours for close to 30 years, as well as appearing in several other shows and movies along the way. I spoke to Stephen about this amazing career, why he thought the show would only last a couple of months, as well as just how fans react to meeting him on the street. Stephen, welcome to the Brink and Edge Radio.
Thank you very much, guys.
It's a pleasure to have you here, mate, and sort of actually ashamed to admit that you are the only second person from Neighbours I've ever had on this show. We had Ryan Maloney on a couple of years ago, but we've tried to bridge that gap. We've had so many home and away actors. We've got to catch up on the Neighbours actors, Stephen. What's going on?
Well, we came first, so, you know, we're more important, yeah. Aren't we?
Yes, come on. You know, Channel 7 gave you up. We're on the path up. We're on the path up. But, I mean, it's amazing to think, actually, that next year, 30 years since Neighbours began on our screens, and you, of course, were in that very first episode back in 1985, and you had a bit of a break between before returning again. I mean, could you ever imagine when you first go on Neighbours that 30 years later you're still going to be on the show playing Paul Robinson?
Hell no. I mean, to be honest, I only ever thought the show would last about 6 months, because when I was put up for it, I thought, oh my God, yeah, a soap for a start. Oh, with a corny name like Neighbours, oh yeah, that'll last, won't it? Not. And I mean, I've said this many times before, but I actually didn't want the role to begin with. I was up for a film which I was set that I was actually going to get that, and if that failed, there was a stage play I was up for as well, and they were the ones that I was prioritising, and in the meantime, sort of Neighbours came under the radar and grabbed me, and I said, oh, look, you know, I'll do it for 3 months then. I want to do a soap, and my agent said, well, you've got to sign for six, and I said, well, all right, probably only last that long anyway, so all right, I'll do 6 months, and yeah, here I am today talking to you nearly 30 years later.
It's amazing to think that. So, I mean, is there kind of, after those 6 months have happened, are you just that addicted to it at that point? Are you enjoying playing the character so much? I mean, what made you stay?
Well, it's a funny old thing, because 1 month after that, my premonition came right, and it was axed from Channel 7. It was axed after 7 months. Months. 7 on 7. That's a bit spooky, isn't it?
It is.
And and I thought, well, so be it. That's, you know, pretty much what I thought. And then 2 months later, Channel 10 picked it up. I was actually overseas at the time. And again, it was another fight, because I'd done the original miniseries, The Flying Doctors, with Crawford Productions. And they then went into series and asked me if I'd come back and revive the character. That initially it was only for the first two episodes, I think. And at exactly the same time, I got a call from my agent. I was over in Europe at the time, and she said, you know, Neighbours want you back. They're going to Channel 10. And I was like, oh God, what am I going to do? And she sort of intoned that maybe it was better to take the Neighbours one, because it might be a more secure job. And again, I didn't know how long it was going to last. I thought, you know, I'd probably do a little bit of time. And yeah, as you say, it just sort of got more and more and more comfortable, and I think it was about 7.5 years I was in for the first time. Then went out to sow my career seeds internationally for about 12 years and came back. And everybody thinks I came back for the job of Neighbours, but it wasn't. I actually came back to build a house. Ended up not doing that and getting the gig back on Neighbours. So I was asked back for the 20th year anniversary.
Wow, and here you are approaching the 30th year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. And originally the gig for the 20th year anniversary, that was only supposed to be a 2-week guest gig. And that turned into, I think, 6 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, and again, here I am.
Wow, wow.
10 years later, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of fascinating, actually, I find, watching it and sort of watching the character of Paul, because, I mean, I really find in soap operas, when you kind of have these, quote, villains, that eventually they get a bit soft, they get a bit calmer, and then eventually they're not really as evil as they used to be. But Paul kind of always seems to float that line of, well, he's getting a bit nicer, but then he does something evil. I mean, do you find that's the case with Paul?
Oh, pretty much. I mean, I'm actually involved in a storyline at the moment which devastates Paul. And I mean, there's been quite a lot of involvement with my character, whereby the audience is getting a really good look at the other side of Paul, the emotional and very vulnerable side of Paul. I mean, on air at the moment is is all the stuff about his depressive stage. Mm. And then he finally pulls out of that and starts to get on the up and up, and then along comes comes this storyline, which I can't tell at the moment, but this storyline, which is going really lovely, and then whack, another kick in the guts, and he's devastated, and you see the vulnerability of Paul again. But I'm sure because of this, a woman is involved, so because of this, he's going to get all bitter and twisted again, and probably start shouting at people again.
which I'm sure as an actor, that's the fun part of the job, isn't it?
It's great. It's fantastic, you know, and that is the answer as to, you know, people say, oh, you know, why have you stayed with the show so long? And it's like, well, you know what? Two reasons. Well, it's probably more than two, but first of all, the obvious one is job security and financial security within an industry which is pretty darn hard to achieve that. And secondly, because as an actor, you know, even though people say to me, oh, you know, you must get so bored playing the same character, going to the same workplace every day and all of that, and I'm just like, well, no, actually, it's all right. I might be going to the same workplace, but every single day I'm doing something different, the same character, but doing something different, different lines, as opposed to a stage play, which I, as much as, don't get me wrong, I love doing stage work, but you know, I'm a bit bored after 2 weeks because it's a sausage factory. You're doing the same thing day in, day out, and there's no deviation. Whereas on this, you know, we get a lot of our own input. We're allowed a lot of our own input in storylines, and you know, even sort of slight, very slight script changes and things like that. Obviously, as long as it doesn't change the context of any story or scene. So we get a bit of a free hand there, and it's gold for an actor to be able to, as a, you know, on one, to be able to be full time employed, but also be employed in a character which is so diversified.
Yeah, and also too, going back to what you're saying with, say, the Flying Doctors, which I suppose is a prime time series, you know, people might say, well, that's better exposure than that. But with a soap opera, it's been around for so long. I mean, a soap opera is sort of just the development of the character of someone so long as well. And that it's generally a show that, you know, it has a core viewership and really doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, there's no reason why it should. I mean, you've just got to look at the, I think it's Days of Our Lives is the longest running one in America, and Coronation Street over in England. You know, when you get onto a soap, about everyday life, and particularly about a street or even a police station or something like that, like Cop Shop or something like that. But you know, it's about everyday life, and everyday life is, even though we dramatize it, it's real. It's about real stuff, you know, that just keeps going on. It doesn't stop. It doesn't suddenly go, oh, okay, well, you know, that part of life's finished. Now let's change tack and do something else. It just, life goes on. And that's exactly what a soap depicts. And I think that's why, you know, and I was having this argument with, not argument, but this debate with one of the top people at 10 the other day, and they were saying, it's a case of, sorry, I've lost track of where I was going. Where was I going?
It happens a lot on this show, actually.
Senior moment there. How long have we been doing this show again?
what show are you talking about? I don't know what we're here to talk about here today. It's kind of, I think, fascinating too. I mean, you were in, obviously, in the late 80s, that real boom of Neighbours, you know, the real peak of the show and how big it sort of was in this country and obviously the UK. We know how, you know, huge it was and still is over there. I mean, do you find with the UK audience, are you sort of more recognised? You have more fans sort of contacting you from the UK?
Oh, yeah, not just the UK, all over the world. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Somebody who was in the green room here was saying that they're fascinated by how much mail they get from Iceland. And it's huge in Iceland, but it's all over Europe, South America, parts of Australasia. And the good news is we're about to go into America. So, it's recognition worldwide now, and it has been. I mean, the phenomenon, the hysteria has certainly died down after 30 years, but it's still massive recognition, particularly when we are outside. People don't sort of pay much attention other than the sort of whispers as you go past of, oh, hi, Paul, here in Australia, because we're Australian, it's pretty laid back, which is a nice thing, but overseas, they still get slightly hysterical when you walk down the street.
I've never sort of heard about the rabid Icelandic fan base for Neighbours, but I'll be interested to look into that now.
Well, apparently there's, I think this population, Iceland has a population of around about 350,000.
Right.
And something like about 160 or 170,000 of those watch Neighbours.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, half the country's watching your show. You know you're doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be like, what, 11 million people in Australia watching Neighbours every week. Yeah. So.
Aren't they?
Yeah, well, of course they are. Absolutely. Those ratings mean nothing, Stephen. I don't know what you're talking about. But, I mean, the thing also, too, that I sort of noticed with Neighbours and sort of the long-standing actors that are on the show, I mean, you've still got plenty of people that have been on the show, you know, for close to 20 years or more, obviously. You know, Ryan's been on there for so long. You know, you've got Jackie playing Susan's been on there for a long time. Well, you look at something like Home and Away. I mean, sure, you've still got Ray Ma, you know, you've got Lynn on there too, but Home and Away seem to recycle their actors a little bit more. That's something that Neighbours can hold over Home and Away, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I hold the, I don't know if it's a millstone or a milestone, but it was brought to my attention last year that I'm now the longest running ongoing character in Australian television history.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's something to tell my grandkids.
Definitely, definitely. Keep that going. You haven't died yet. You haven't sort of been brought back from the dead and all this sort of stuff. So that works.
Yeah.
Very much so. I also love sort of reading some of your interviews as well about the fan base and how kind of sometimes people don't distinguish yourself, Stephen Dennis, as an actor and Paul Robinson as the character. I mean, what are some of the real memorable moments you've had from the fans over the years that have kind of really hated Paul and have they gone off at you completely?
Oh, no, and that's a weird thing, you know, for a character which is loved, hated as much as what Paul is, I've got to say I'm quite surprised that nobody has taken to me with a stick or something like that as I'm, you know, having a quiet coffee or whatever. I think the worst thing that's ever happened, I've regaled this story many times, but the worst thing that's ever happened to me to date, it was in the UK and I was walking down the street and this little old lady sort of walked past me, and as she got past, she went, turned around and she went, Paul! And she sort of hurried back, scurried back to me, and she came up and she whacked me across the arm and she said, you're a very naughty boy, and off she went.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. It's working. Yeah. More people need to do it, though. We'll start something out there people can come up to. Do you sort of get used to hearing the names?
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, we'll make it nice but mean. I don't know how that works. Do you get used to people calling you Paul more so than Stephen sometimes?
Yeah, no, that happens far more often than people call me Stephen. And I've got to say, it's mildly flattering when somebody does call me Stephen because they realise that I'm an actor and not the character. But it doesn't bother me when people call me Paul. I think in the very early stages it did. It's like, hey, come on, get your act together. I'm not Paul Robinson. I'm Stephen Dennis. Whereas now I just go, yep, no worries. I answer to Paul as much as I answer to Stephen.
Right, okay.
Because as I say, probably, you know, in the street I answer to Paul a hell of a lot more. And it's fine. So, you know, if people you know, want to say hello and they recognise me as Paul, then so be it. That's fine.
That's how it works. That simple. Now, Stephen, I see I've remembered that. Before we'll get to some five questions we like to ask all our guests to wrap this interview up. But just quickly, one thing that I was reading about you outside of Neighbours, that you're actually part of a world record back in the 90s, a sort of an endurance karting record. And you got to race along with the likes of David Brabham to set this record. I mean, tell us a little bit about this. That would have been a lot of fun.
Oh, that was actually quite amazing. That all stemmed from a friendship with a friend of mine. I don't know if you know the series Long Way Round with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Bornham. Yeah, well, Russ Malkin, who was the producer of that, is a dear friend of mine. And where that friendship stemmed from was in 92 when I first went over to the UK to live. I was involved in the Celebrity Riviera Challenge, which was they couldn't call it a race because we were going on main highways and auto routes and things. So they called it a rally, and it was 3 days from London to Cannes. And we had £3 million worth of cars to play with, and it was literally, it wasn't like, okay, you're in that car and whichever car we wanted to drive, and then it was, I want to drive that one now. And we had all these fantastic challenges along the way, like time trials at Brands Hatch Raceway, and the go-karting first stemmed from there. We one of the challenges was down at Dijon, just outside in southern France, and we were on an outdoor go-kart track on 100 kilometre an hour go cuts. The funny thing was, it was hilarious because it was a really frosty morning, and these things, you sort of rip down the straight and you'd be nearing 100 k's, and then all of a sudden you come to almost a hairpin bend. The amount of cars that were just spinning out on the track was hilarious. But anyway, and then some years later, Russ approached me and he said, oh, listen, we're thinking of doing the breaking the Guinness Book of Records for go-karting. Would you be interested? I'm like, got my hand up already. and it was 24-hour endurance with a relay team. There was myself, David Brabham, Russ Malcolm, and his brother Steve Malcolm. We were the team. And, yeah, it was all very official. We did the first one at Brooklands Raceway in just outside London. And we broke the record for that. We just broke it. I think, when I say just, I think we broke it by about 55 Ks or something. I can't remember. Or no, whatever, anyway, but we broke it. And then the following year, we actually set the record for electric carts. I think I was in the Guinness Book of Records for 4 or 5 years or something before somebody came along and challenged that and broke it again.
Ah, damn it. I was about to say, is it still standing?
Yeah.
But I think
if you look in the Guinness Book of Records, the 1993-94 vintage, you'll...
Okay.
When did we do it? 95? Yeah, so I don't know, mid to late-ish 90s.
Pull it off the shelf and have a look.
Our entry, yeah.
Well, you're in there again, as you said, as sort of the longest-standing character on Australian TV. So you've returned. That's just like Paul did to Neighbours. You've returned to the Guinness Book of Records. That's simple. We're big motorsport fans. We have a sister show all about Formula One, so that kind of just fascinated me that you sort of had involved there. Would have been a lot of fun. Now, Stephen, we wrap up every single interview with a set of five questions. These are very... I'm just going to say they're very hard questions when they're not really, just to kind of put the pressure on you. And as always, when I have an actor on the show who is well known for playing a character, feel free to tell me what you think Paul would also answer these questions.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit of fun, question number one, what is your favourite type of cheese?
Favourite type of cheese? Oh, gosh, I'd have to say you can't get it in this country, but Gambazzola. Which is I guess the closest here would be Blue Castella. Gambazzola is like a really lovely camembert, but with a blue vein through it. It's fantastic. Wonderful. I could eat a whole wheel of that, yeah.
what do you think, Paul? Is Paul just a cheddar man, or is he a bit fancy?
Oh, no, Paul would be, he'd be a bit posh with his cheeses too, because he loves a nice wine, so probably have a lovely stinky cheese with a nice red,
yes.
Nice aged Shiraz.
Yes, I expect them to write a cheese storyline into Neighbours now that you've had that question. question number two, when it comes to toilet paper, are you a folder or a scruncher?
Oh, I'm a folder.
Folder. Simple.
Oh, okay. Well, scrunching uses up too much. See, I'm a conservationist. Since I've been a small child, and I don't like wasting anything. And with folding, it's far more economical.
Completely agree. And I could imagine Paul would be a folder too. Surely.
Oh yeah, he's too anal for anything. Excuse the pun.
Yes. Well, that's quite appropriate with that question. Question number three. Growing up, what was
could you see everybody out there now going, oh, so that's how he wipes his bum, is it? Oh, wow. Just picturing me on the dunny.
It adds a depth to the character as well as the actor. So, like, people really right now are just learning a new side of Stephen Dennis and Paul Robinson. Growing up, what was your dream job?
It's really weird because I think when I was around about 12, I wanted to be a priest. Thank God I stopped that idea. then I went from, I was very interested in science and chemistry and was doing quite well at school with that, so I was quite determined I was going to be a research chemist, which I kind of didn't really understand. It was something my mum said, and I went, yeah, that's what I'm going to be, a research chemist. not just a chemist, a research chemist. And then that quickly made way for me being into show business, and probably by about the age of 15, I was pretty determined I wanted to be an actor, and my dear father turned around very wisely and said, well, if you're going to be in show business, son, you really should get a profession or a trade behind you.
Yes.
So I did.
Yes, indeed. And that has all turned out well, no? That obviously that...
I've achieved my dream job.
That is what we like to hear. Question number four. Also growing up, who was your childhood celebrity crush?
Oh, gosh, probably along with many, many, many young lads at that age, probably Annette Funicello. Now, I don't know if you remember that. Mickey Mouse Club.
Ah, okay,
We're
right.
Going way back here. another childhood crush was Carol Lingley, I think her name was. I remember her from the Poseidon Adventure, blonde actress.
Okay.
Oh, I had a huge crush on her.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, it's actually fascinating. I can say this. I've never interviewed one of my celebrity crushes growing up, but I'm sort of interviewing a relative kind of one of my celebrity crushes in Kylie Minogue. Sort of a relative on TV screen. So,
yeah.
Does that count?
I've seen, yeah, it's a sort of, yeah, 6 degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out some sort of connection, sort of.
But I mean, my adult crush is probably Charlize Theron.
Yes.
I don't know if I should be saying that. Oh, hey, there you go. We got a thumbs up from Ryan Maloney there.
Oh, hello, Ryan. He's appeared on this show before, so he's all for the Charlize Theron love. Final question for you today, Stephen Dennis. What is your worst habit?
Oh, apart from folding my toilet paper, I'd, probably nail biting, and I go through stages where I go, no, mustn't bite the nails, and they get long, and I go, ooh, they look tasty. yeah, probably nail biting.
That works. I'm actually just
and talking too much.
Talking too much.
Talking, so saying things before I do them.
That's you would be a great radio host. So you should get into that. I've actually just, funnily enough, you mentioned Ryan. I've just actually found his answers. He answered for childhood celebrity crush, just Ralph magazine pictures. So he just liked to perv on the Ralph
yeah,
magazine girls. So
I'm there with
you.
Him.
Can bring that back up to Ryan. Yeah. So
mine probably would have extended to Playboy.
Right.
A tad older than Ryan.
Yes, yes. Now, people would like to see more about Stephen. Of course, watch him on Neighbours each night, 6:30 p.m. on Channel 11. Can go to stephandennis.com and follow Stephen on Twitter at Dendale. And I'm going to do that right now after this interview and tweet how much fun I had today, mate. Pleasure chatting with you today, and best of luck, and we hope to see you on Neighbours for another 30 years.
You beauty. Thanks, Ben.
Going back in that time machine again once now. Now, we're going to play this clip. This is the oldest available clip I have of any form of history of this very show. Now, back in 2004, when sort of my career, Josh's, Anthony's, all of our careers started back in the day, we used to be part of journalism class at Elizabeth College in Hobart, and we had to do a weekly radio slot. We got into groups of three, and we hosted a three-week rotating slot, and then everybody in the class were going to turn it rotating on those 3 weeks. Now, back in the very OG days, that was myself, Josh, and a guy called Sebastian, who I think has been on this show a few times over the years, but never really made it his way into a co-host. But Josh and I have told the story many, many times over how that sort of first occasion went. But throughout that, we then sort of became almost the default backup guys. Whenever people weren't available, we would get asked to host the shows. We got to fill in sort of in school holidays, myself and Peter Wallhead. You remember Peter on this show, of course. And that's sort of where we like to say the birth of the Brink was, when we would do those filling gaps. And back, of course, in 2004, we were still a bit more analogish in a way. Obviously, digital was a thing. But in terms of things like streaming online, it wasn't a massive, massive thing. So if you wanted to take a copy of your show, you still had to get a cassette, press record on it, if you remember that, and then you'd have it on like a cassette. So I used to do that back in the day. And of course, if people remember Edge Radio in Hobart, which I believe still exists, hello to all our Edge Radio fans out there, that the reception of it didn't exactly stretch out much outside of the center of Hobart and a few of the surrounding suburbs. If anybody listening knows Hobart, I lived in the northern suburbs. There was no way we could get the reception for it that far out into the city. So I can't even remember how I was able to get this recorded. Maybe my grandma, who lived in Sydney, Sandy Bay, possibly around that area where you could pick up the show. Anyway, long-winded way of saying there was very few editions of the early version of The Brink that were recorded. This is one such occasion, which again, I know we have played, I'm pretty sure at least snippets of this in the past. Sadly, you'll hear a guy in this by the name of Ben Clark. Now, he sadly passed away a couple of years ago, and I believe in a sort of a tribute to him, I played maybe the full bit of this, or at least some of this, sort of as a nice little tribute to him, because we used to have Ben on the show a few times, and Ben was a great guy. So this is a clip, the very first clip that I have, the most original old school clip I can ever play of The Brink in some form. This is myself, Ben Clark, and Lucy McCrossan, sister of Sam, who has been on this show plenty of times. And I'm going to play this in its entirety. This is a 12-minute clip of that show, and I want to apologize profusely for how crap this sounds. Not just the quality, but I would like to think that the quality of myself on air has improved in 20 years. maybe you can make your own mind up. Maybe I am still as shit back then as I was today, or today as I was back then. I can't even put sentences together. So therefore, you understand where I'm going at. So let's go back to the year that was 2004 and hear myself on air as The Brink got its very early start.
Good afternoon, Hobart. You're tuned into the Schoolies Hour here with Elizabeth College, and we were just chilling away to an open letter to New York City by the Beastie Boys. And before that, we had Tender Feelings by Tim Burr. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And they're a Tassie band, so it's good to hear from them. Well, my name is Ben here for the Schoolies Hour. I'm filling in for Krause and Stephen, who are not here today. Obviously, that's why I'm here. And joining me today is another Ben, the more attractive Ben, I must have to admit. Ben, how are you today?
Good, thanks, Ben.
And speaking of attractive, we have the ever beautiful and radiant Lucy joining us today. She's our special guest. How are you today, Lucy?
I'm good, thanks, Ben, now that I've seen Ricky Ponting in today's paper.
Yes, Ricky Ponting. Well, we can discuss your love affair with the captain of Australian cricket later on today.
We sure can.
Yes, we can. But first, we're going to go to another song. Here is Volcano by Damien Rice O, but we're going to hear from us. I apologise. Sorry, listeners. Bit of a mistake there. We're actually going to listen to Everyone Gets Crushed by Superchunk. So let's listen to this first.
Do not need me.
Welcome back to Edge FM 99.3. You were just listening to Volcano by Damien Rice O. Got it right this time. And before that was Everyone Gets Crushed by Superchunk. This is the EC Schoolies Hour here on this Friday afternoon, just past 4:15. And if you would like to get in contact with us, we have a text number, and that number is 0427 Edge FM. And for the rest of us, it's 0427 334 336. And we'd love to hear from you. So just anything on your mind, give us a SMS, well, send us an SMS. Well, we're going to chat now to Lucy, who was in the Elizabeth College production, which finished off last weekend. The production was called Back to the 80s, and as the title suggests, it was about a school in the 80s. We'll talk to Lucy a bit more about that in a second. Ran from Tuesday to Saturday last week, and it was enjoyed by all. And Lucy, congratulations, I saw it. It was a blooming good play. So tell us a bit about your role in the play.
My role? Well, I was in the chorus. I was about 50 members in the chorus. We were just in the main songs. It was a musical. It was about 26 different songs, hits from the 80s.
Yes, lots of them there were. Now, obviously being 50 of you in the chorus, obviously a bit hard to notice you, but I personally notice you, Lucy, so don't worry, with your big hairstyles.
Thanks, Ben, it was great. There's lots of ugly hairstyles and terrible
I wouldn't say they were ugly. Don't of the 80s. The clothes back then, well, what can you say about them? They were nice.
Yeah, they would have suited you, Ben.
Yeah, well, I still wear lots of clothes in the 80s because, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. What else can I say? Now, there was, over 70 people in this performance.
Yes, that's right. Everybody who wanted to be in it could be in it, which was great.
So even Joe Blow walking down the street, if he wanted to be in it? Or?
Oh, you have to go to the school, obviously, and choose the subject, but nobody's knocked back.
And what,
so that was great.
What subject was it in?
Musical theatre. It runs for half the year.
Okay. And with that, obviously, is the production all you work on throughout the 6 months
that
you're
in? Yep, that's right. We worked on it from the start of from the beginning of school, which was about February 12th up until last week.
And so now it's over for the year?
Yep, we get the line off, which is great.
Okay. Out of all the performances, obviously different audiences each night, was there a particular night that stood out in your mind from working on the performance?
Not really. All of the audiences were really receptive, and yeah, they were just all really great. They all clapped and cheered, which was great, because we fed off them. And yep.
Obviously lots of friends being made from this?
Absolutely, definitely. Everyone was just so comfortable with each other by the end. Everyone was just friends and it was just great fun.
Yeah, okay. Well, Lucy, we're going to go to a song in a sec, so we're going to talk to you a bit more afterwards.
Okay.
But before we do, I just want to quickly update you on something, mentioning before how your love affair for Ricky Ponting.
Yes.
Just got some news in about the current score on the cricket. After 70 overs, 2 for 290, and unfortunately your husband, boyfriend, is out.
You're kidding.
And I don't know what he got.
Oh,
so.
I'll have to have words with him.
Yes.
I'll call him tonight.
Good. Okay. Now we're going to throw to another song here. Here is Treat Me Like That. Something you probably say to Ricky Ponting every now and then. I can't pronounce probably Proprietary Limited. So let's listen to this. Welcome back to Edge FM here with Elizabeth College, the Schoolies Hour. That was the Buff Medways by Pink 14. Before that, we had Treat Me Like That by Proprietary Limited. I've got it out there. Now, before we go back to Lucy, quick reminder of the text number 0427 334 336 if you'd like to get in contact with us. We'd like to hear from you. Any questions for Lucy, any questions for us, just anything, we don't care, but don't make it rude because I'll get upset. Okay, now Lucy, we're continuing on with our discussion about the Elizabeth College production which finished last weekend, Back to the 80s. Now, tell us a bit about the play. What was the story about?
Well, it was set in an American high school in the 1980s, and the cast was sort of split into sort of three groups. We had the nerd group, who, you know, loves maths and things like that.
Like you, Lucy.
Yeah. Yes.
No offence, sorry. Keep going, yes.
Yeah, their colours were yellow. They had sort of the yellow long skirts and white cardigan-y things. And then there was the pink girls. There was the cheerleaders.
Yes, I enjoyed them.
I'm sure you
quite
did.
Quite a lot, yes.
And there was the cool guys. And there was the punks.
Yes.
And basically it's just about... sort of one person from each of those groups as a main character, and his story is about them. It follows the senior year, begins off with the elections for president, and it's just about a girl and a guy. They were together, and then she was with the
while she's in the musical theatre production thing, because she can sing.
She has a great voice.
Yes, and it's obviously helping in a musical being able to sing and act, which you can do both. Multi-talented girl. Okay, well, we're going to go to another song, and we're going to come back and wrap things up very shortly here. We're going to now listen to She Rises by Matt Charles, so I hope you enjoy it here on Edge FM. Welcome back to Edge FM here, 99.3 on your Friday afternoon, the school is out with Elizabeth College. That was a very interesting song by Pornland. Yes, Pornland, the licking song, and the announcers of this radio show did not agree with the lyrics of that song. Before that we had Funk, F-U-N-K, Is Everything by Resin Dogs, and She Rises by Matt Charles. Okay, after that very fun song, we're going to wrap things up by talking a bit about the weekend's football ahead. Here with Ben and Lucy. Now, we'll just basically read the games out. We'll have a bit of a discussion about it. Is that okay, guys?
And
yep, sure, it's fine.
Perfect.
I love my footy.
Yes, footy.
So
do I. It's a game of champions. Okay, Collingwood versus Geelong at the Telstra Dome.
Oh, I'd have to say Geelong for that. Gary Ablett Jr.
Yes.
I disagree with you, Lucy. I reckon Collingwood will win. Just getting back in a bit of form.
Well, I'm gonna go with Lucy. I'm sorry, Geelong. A bit of a soft spot for the putty taps. And I think they'll win. Collingwood, well, I'm not going to comment about them. Hawthorn West Coast up at Lonnie. That's Launceston, York Park.
I'd have to say West Coast.
Going to disagree with you again, Lucy. I'm going Hawthorn.
Once again, I'm going with Lucy, West Coast. Hawthorn on bottom of the ladder, playing really, really bad this year.
It's a fair way to travel for West Coast, though.
Yeah, but it's Launceston, so... And Hawthorn, they're bottom of the ladder.
They play well in York Park.
Crawford's not there.
Yeah, Crawford.
They beat Fremantle there.
Yeah, don't knock Fremantle, Ben. Okay, Richmond Essendon at the MCG. Tigers versus the Bombers. Tigers not travelling too well this year.
Richmond, absolutely. Nathan Brown and teamed with Matthew Richardson. I think they're a great couple. And
couple, Lucy? What are your fantasies going on there?
Essendon, James has 200th.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Essendon because I just think the Bombers playing a bit better than the Toys.
Well.
What's my name?
Well, you win.
Okay, Fremantle versus the Kangas up at in West Coast, Subiaco. Ben?
Fremantle.
Is that it? Okay, Lucy?
Yeah, absolutely. Fremantle on the West Coast. Yes. Can't doubt them there.
Yes, the coast that is on the west. I'm definitely going for the Dockers. Second favourite team, go the Dockers. Sydney versus Adelaide at the Sydney Cricket Ground, the Olympic Stadium. Not the Olympic Stadium, the Olympic City. Can't say anything straight today. Lucy.
That's a tough one. I'd have to go with Sydney. Yep, look, Sydney.
Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Yeah.
Adelaide. I'm out of Sydney. They knocked us over last weekend. Damn Swans. Brisbane versus the Bulldogs at the Gabba.
Do you really need to ask?
Yes, I do.
Brisbane.
Hey, the Bulldogs knocked over the Saints when they looked like they were undefeatable, so...
No, yeah, Brisbane. Alistair Lynch is just fantastic Tasmanian, yep.
Yes, well, I'm going for the Bears.
He can also
the
play...
Lions. Sorry, Fitzroy.
He can also play football really well.
Good, Lucy. well, we've got a bit of a conflict of interest for this next game. Port Adelaide Carlton, me being Carlton supporter, Ben being a Power supporter. And Blissy being Colts for it as well. So.
Absolutely. Matthew Lappin and Cruder.
Cruder's a legend.
I've met him actually. So put his arm around me.
Yes.
Matthew Lappin, 5 goals for him. Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to win. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, Matty Lappin just is Lucy's second boyfriend after Ricky Ponting. Ben, what do you think?
I think Port Adelaide by about 10 goals.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether to go with my head or my heart. Head of my heart, but I'm going to go Port Adelaide. I'm sorry, my father, if he's listening. Final game, Melbourne St Kilda at the MCG. Lucy.
St Kilda, absolutely. They're right up there at the top of the ladder.
No Gary, Melbourne.
I'm going to go for Melbourne as well. I think the Saints have lost their edge this season and the Demons are playing very well.
Well, we'll see about that then, won't we?
We will. Well, we're out of time, I'm very sad to say here. The school is out. It's coming up to 5 o'clock. After 5 o'clock, listening to Lionel with Halfback Flankers. We've enjoyed your company this afternoon. Lucy, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for letting me come in, Ben.
That's perfectly fine. And Ben?
It's been a pleasure.
It certainly has. This is Ben for Elizabeth College Schoolies Hour signing off. And you'll be here next week with 3 new people. So enjoy listening to them and farewell from us. Here is Legion of Boom by The Crystal Method.
I've got to say, ending it on The Crystal Method. That's pretty cool. I enjoyed The Crystal Method, saw The Crystal Method live here in Sydney, but it's cringeworthy. It's hard to hear that, but a bit of a trip down memory lane, and I'm sure maybe both of you enjoyed that. So that's where we've come from 20 years later, and here we are, still with no listeners, still trying to be funny, still trying to do something that's really not that relevant. But hey, what else can I say? So you're welcome. Happy 20 years to us. All right, as you know, we like to provide a bit of a tease to other shows that we do here. We've lots of other shows under the Brink umbrella that we've got, obviously, coverage of a variety of different events. And we like to play a best of clip to try and get you teased into it. Because ultimately, at the end of the year, you're going to hear these anyway, all in a big compilation as our best of the year. But this is a fun little one that myself and Noah did over on 007, our James Bond podcast. Now, I will say that this episode is actually not going to air till June. So you've got a very early teaser of this one. Now, bit of context for this one. Now, this was a bit of fun, bit silly, bit immature, if let's be completely honest. But what's new in this show? We somehow bring up the delicious ice cream treat that is a Golden Gay Time. And as I'm sure you're going to guess, it went off the rails a little bit in terms of our humor with this. And I like to stand by that this is just cheap, silly, pointless comedy that we tried to make a thing of. That may or may not be offensive. So let's hear how a conversation on a James Bond podcast went into the most random topic of the Golden Gay Time ice cream and how two grown men handled that subject. I have too many buttons on this goddamn thing. There we go.
What, it's his birthday? It's gay time?
What?
Ben.
Why is it gay time on your birthday? Did I miss a trick a month ago?
Well, not homosexual time, gay time.
Oh, yum. Do you like the gay time ice cream? Big fan.
Now, here's the thing. I had some friends visit Australia.
Oh, nice.
And, well, they didn't visit me.
Yeah, I've got some friends. They visited Malaysia. Cool. Telling stories.
Friends that visited, but they go to a different school. You don't know them. And I told them to get some gay times, and they fell in love, and they said, oh, we ate them every day. And then I realized I don't actually think I've ever had a gay time. So who am I to tell other people to have gay times when I haven't even gay timed myself?
Subtlety.
Oh, we need to do video episode.
All I wanted to say is I'm quite partial to a gay time from time to time.
Who
doesn't like waking up and going to your fridge and finding a gay time? Like, it's just...
Yeah, but not all the time, just partial some of the time.
Saturday night I'm by myself, who's not down to have a gay time?
Let me just say, I would try it once and see how it goes.
You know what's really good about a gay time is when a gay time's in a tub, because you can get a tub of gay time. You
really get into it.
You stick your spoon. You really get deep into that gay time and you put it in your mouth.
And I think I prefer the gay time on the stick. What were we saying about subtlety?
But you're not wrong, because if I think about having a good gay time, there's a stick involved.
Exactly.
It's crunchier. There's more to put in your mouth with the stick.
And I mean, it might be a bit awkward to have a gay time, but I'd probably keep the wrapper on too.
Well, you know, you sometimes have got to change it up. Like, sometimes it's all well and good to have a gay time at home, but sometimes you like to go outside and have a gay time. And all of a sudden, like at the beach, it's a hot day. Yeah, you're like, have a gay time.
Be careful with a public gay time, because you could end up on a list.
And particularly if you've got friends and they might not be open to a gay time. Maybe they're more of a splice person or a paddle pop. So,
Buffalo Bill.
Nothing more awkward when you're inviting your friends to go to a public place and have a gay time and they're all in just wanting a splice.
Story of my life.
Me too. All I want to do is have a gay time from time to time, but they're just all, they want to get their Bubble-O bills and put them in their mouth.
I will try a gay time. I think I'd rather try a gay time at home before I try the public gay time.
Well, when you come over in a couple of weeks, let's have a gay time.
We should have a gay time.
And we can ring up Colin and we can be like, Colin, look at us have a gay time.
We're having a gay time together.
We should just have a gay time.
Yeah, we should actually have a gay time when I'm over there, because I don't think I've ever had one. Are we going to have it at your house, or we could have a gay time in the lift?
We could go have a with Pink, Billy Magnuson in the Citra, and have a gay time with Billy Magnuson.
Go to Speed and have a gay time. We should do it.
We'll have a palmy.
In Australia. I need to have a gay time in Australia before I leave.
Well, if we don't hang out with Joanna Griggs, we can have a gay time with her, or we can have a gay time with us.
Joanna Griggs might like our gay time.
Yes.
Should we explain it? Because
yeah, I really hope that people are listening to this and going, these guys are so homophobic. They're disgusting. I do not like this show anymore.
I would accept the pretty gay line, but this is the last straw.
That's pretty gay.
Do we not? I think we just don't tell anybody who doesn't get Australian ice cream. Okay. And then Colin Hilding will be listening to this.
Google. Golden gay time. Maybe add Australia a bit.
It's an ice cream. There is literally an ice cream in Australia called a golden gay time. So, yes. One of the, and honestly, surprised it's never been PC.
I was about to say, only in Australia, and even then it may change its name.
It will. I mean, they changed am I allowed to say that name of that cheese anymore? Am I allowed to say the name of those chocolate little jelly babies anymore?
It's not
fake cigarettes. Are we allowed to say what they used to be called?
No.
So I actually don't like that word. But yeah,
fags. They're called now.
Honestly, like, and I'm not even saying this as a joke. I really do love gay times. They are one of my favorite ice creams. Them and splices.
Now, again, I would like to just reiterate: we had a bit of fun there. It was a bit silly, maybe a bit offensive, a bit immature, but we like to think it's fun. It's a cutting edge humor we have on these shows, right? Like We take subtlety, as we say, and move it on where, yeah, that was very immature. But, hey, I stand by it. It was funny. You can listen to the full episode of that one coming your way on 007 in June. All right, it's time to close it out. I promise no more gay time jokes. That was very immature. I do. Actually, no, I don't apologize for it. It was a bit silly. Get over it. We are here to close out the show. And something exciting that I've been wanting to do for quite some time, but have just never done it, and I'm finally going to do it. Again, there's like two of you listening right now. We've got Indiana and France listening. You're going to be blown away with this. We do a silly, pointless, quote, film franchise, unquote, on this show called The Brink Unleashed. We started it back in 2007 with the very first Brink Unleashed, myself and co-host at the time, Anthony. Did a bit of a trip around the east coast of Australia, and then every time I've basically done a big trip, big holiday, big vacation, I have filmed it in some capacity for the memory bank and turned it into a silly, pointless film that I can't even get my friends and family to watch. So it's really for me, let's be honest. You know this show's all about me. But throughout the history, since 2007, we've done 14 of these movies now. Recently, 13 movies. Hang on, how many? I can't even count. There has been 13 movies at the time of recording. We're about to do the 14th. See, I can't even get it ready. Get it right. Point is, we have soon to be 14 movies, currently 13 movies. Now, we just recently released The Brink Unleashed 12, NYC, available now on our YouTube channels, which I'm sure you have seen. And one thing I've always wanted to do with these is an audio commentary, because the one person on this planet that maybe cares about it might want to hear me talk over me, because why wouldn't you? I'm basically making these for myself. So, starting this week, and for the next 12 or so weeks, we will be releasing an audio commentary on all of The Brink Unleashed films, which are all available on YouTube. I will say that right now, so you can listen to these while watching it on YouTube. It's a bit of pointless, harmless, random crap that you don't really need to listen to, but if you've watched any of the films over the years and want to add a little bit more to it, then you can tune in starting this Friday. We're going to be doing that every single Friday, dropping it for each of the films, and it's going to be exciting. Now, these will be separate to this, so like right now, you're listening to the 172nd edition of The Brink Podcast. We won't be calling it episode 133, it'll just be a completely side episode. So episode 173 will be a different one that will come out in May. So does it make sense? Probably not. But if you enjoy them in some form or another, you will hear it starting this Friday with the very first film going back to 2007. We'll do them in order, and we will go through each of the films subsequently over those years. And as I said, Brink Unleashed 12 NYC is available now, and we're going to have the Brink Unleashed 12.5 BU in the NT. That sounds a bit weird, but it's happening. That's happening in May. I'm going to Uluru. I've never been to Uluru. I've never been to the Northern Territory. We're going to film something around that, and then we're going to make like a half film on that like we did back with the Brink Unleashed 6.5. So listen, tune in. If you care about any of that, then you can listen. If you don't, skip it and just wait to our next episode, which will come out in May, because obviously we're doing these monthly. If we do anything more exciting beforehand, we'll obviously do more episodes, but hey, this is where we're at right now. Like, subscribe, do all the things that you do. Listen to our other shows. We've got some great stuff happening off the podium. If you're into the Olympics, very good stuff happening with that. Eurovision will start soon. The Oz Network happens. 007 happens. All the great things that are happening on those shows as well. But we appreciate you listening. If you are listening, wherever you are listening, thank you for tuning in. This has been The Brink. My name is Ben. Remember to always, as always, I can't even speak properly, as always, keep sucking those oranges. It's the one show I have a proper closing and I still fuck it up. Keep sucking those oranges. Hobart, Sydney, Cargill, Toria, York City, and good night.